Our first reading is from Luke 22. I slipped on my keyboard and missed out the first two verses which I wanted to read, but the rest is all there. It's Luke 22, verse 63 onwards. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a Messiah, the king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," said Jesus. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Lisa, would you come and read?
Right, continuing on in Luke, verse 23, starting at verse 13. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
Obviously, a lot has been said in the recent last 2 weeks about innocent people, and quite right too. Ukrainians never asked for this war, and we have a question, don't we, in our hearts, which is, where is God in all of this? And well, the answer is that he is there as an innocent who is familiar with suffering. And here in the reading that we've had, we have the story of an innocent man condemned by an illicit and corrupt group of people. And injustice is part of creation. Injustice is part of the creation since fall of man. And Jesus stands as the means of reversing that. Jesus stands as the man who is able to take corruption and turn it into goodness, to turn evil into good, to turn war into peace. And the first thing I want to talk about is the fact of an innocent man who has been flogged and taunted. As we think of Jesus, the innocent man, before the crowds of those who would seek his death, we think also at the same time of the nation of Ukraine, and we think of the innocents there that are being persecuted and treated in such an inhumane way. An innocent man flogged and taunted. This injustice shows the wickedness of humanity in the gracious heart of God, this story of Jesus being flogged and then taken to the trials. When men were doing their worst, God was giving his best. Where sin increases, grace increases all the more, says Paul. And the Sanhedrin were the supreme court of the Jews. They ruled over the religious and theological matters. 70 men, scribes, rabbis, Pharisees, priests and Sadducees, plus the elected elders. This was an austere group of people, a very important group of people, and they were the ones from whom Jesus was thrown in front of in order to answer the trial, the questions given to him and the trial. They were not supposed to meet in the hours of darkness, so Jesus was held in custody. It had strict rules that were designed to give mercy, not injustice, but evidently not in Jesus' case. Even after being flogged, beaten and abused, Jesus stood firm on the promises of God. He said that he would sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He would not be thwarted. He would not give up. He would not deny his calling. In the face of injustice, we too need to trust in God. As Jesus trusted that he would have his say and have his day, so we will say that the people of Ukraine will have their day, and they will have the time when they will be able to stand in mercy and honesty before God. Jesus knew that he would sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and as I say, he would not be thwarted. And then we, in the face of such injustice, need too to trust in God. Humanity will do its worst, but God will not be denied. We've seen barbaric acts this week. We've seen things which have turned our stomachs. We've seen the depths to which humanity will not stoop to get their own way. But God will not be thwarted. God will reign. I was reading the Psalms, and this psalm particularly struck me as being so powerful in the light of what's happening in Eastern Europe. It's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, or for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That applies both to Ukraine and to Jesus. Jesus never believed for a moment that mankind could defeat the purposes of God. He believed that if he just waited upon him, he would see the day of salvation. And so it was for God in Jesus. This innocent man, beaten, flogged, for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And then we have about the innocent man put on trial. The Jewish nation under Roman rule had no power to carry out the death sentence. So they dragged Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate served as the governor of Judea from AD 26 to AD 36, at which time he was recalled to Rome, then passed out of official Roman history. He was a bit of a nobody, a jumped up man. He was hated by the Orthodox Jews and never really understood them. He once aroused their fury by putting up Roman banners in the temple, and he was not beneath sending armed spies into the temple to silence Jewish protesters. In his handling of the trial of Jesus, the governor proved to be indecisive. The Gospel of John records seven different moves that Pilate made as he went out to meet the people and went in to question Jesus. He hadn't got a clue what to do. He was looking for a loophole, but he found none. And Pilate had gone down in history as the man who tried Jesus Christ three times, declared him not guilty, yet crucified him just the same. They never even mentioned this before Pilate, that the Sanhedrin had found Jesus guilty of blasphemy. Instead, they charged him with stirring up the people, encouraging the Jews not to pay taxes to Caesar, assuming the title of king. All these things were lies. I think Pilate saw through these lies, and he sent Jesus to Herod. Now, Herod was equally hated by the people. Once again, this jumped up nobody who was responsible for the murder of Jesus. And the Jewish leaders all toadied up to him. But Herod was eager to meet Jesus, hoping for a sign, for a miracle, for a magic trick to be done just to amuse him. He saw Jesus as being a bit of a joke. He ridiculed him, dressed him in a royal robe as an imitation king. He didn't take Jesus seriously. And the same is, of course, true today. People see Jesus as a joke. They don't see him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It doesn't take much to watch television to see Jesus being dragged through the sewers with the jokes made about him and jokes made about faith in him. Herod didn't see Jesus as important. So secure in his own power and position, he saw no competition in Jesus. No reason to be afraid of the charges brought against Jesus. He dismissed Jesus as being of no consequence. And again, powerful people do that today. There's no fear in them of judgment or of accountability. People in positions of power act with impunity. And I can't help but look at Putin myself and think to myself, here is a man who has no fear of God. He has no fear that he will one day face judgment for the killing of innocent men and women and children. Like so many of humanity, Jesus is an irrelevant joke. But we Christians know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the judge of all humanity. And he can do that. Because he has been where humanity has been. There was a play, a poem that went around many years ago, and I've not been able to find it since. I think it was called The Great Silence. And in it, People stand before God, before Jesus, who is about to draw judgment upon them. And the people say, look, why doesn't Jesus stand where I stand at this time? In illegitimate accusations about his birth. Why wasn't Jesus born into war times? Why wasn't Jesus a refugee that had to flee his own country? Why wasn't Jesus somebody who had to work hard for his own living? Why wasn't Jesus one who had no home of his own? Somebody who was misunderstood? And then, of course, the people realized that, in fact, Jesus had done all of these things and more. An innocent man crucified, this is Jesus, because he stood where we stand, and he understands where we stand today. I started off by saying that I didn't know how to pray for Ukraine, and still I don't know fully how we should pray as a group of people. But I do know that God calls us to pray, and we pray for the war in that country. We pray for the injustice of that war. We pray for the peace that would rule, and we do so because Jesus has been there before. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we come to this time of communion, we remember that you died for us. We remember that you took the floggings, the false testimony, the false trials, the jumped up men who thought that they were better than you. All these things you took. And you submitted, knowing that one day you would see the Father face to face and be justified. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand the situation we find ourselves in now. We pray that you would help us to understand more of your purposes and your ways. And to trust in you, as that psalmist said, that when we are besieged by armies, when we are seeing war on all fronts, that we would be trusting in you for the God who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.